This is now take three for the really good show countdown.
Five.
Four.
Three.
Two.
One. Just so you know, people can know this is how we sync the show up. This part right here, the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right.
Highly scientific.
Yeah.
For 4 years now, I've always had to say three numbers and you've only said two.
Yeah, that's kind of how I do it.
I feel like I'm one better than you.
Yeah, I'm going to just grant your wish and let you talk.
And so, we made a podcast. I don't know if that was a good ending. No. It was terrible.
I like the voice, though.
Yeah.
Plus, it makes you sound like an idiot.
It does. It does. Yeah. Yeah, I'll play the idiot.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's go then. Hello and welcome to episode 212 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, Canada, in a great mood.
Great mood? Why in a great mood?
Don't know, just one of those days.
I love being in a great mood.
Yeah, I'm ear to ear right now.
I also love being in a terrible mood. When everybody else is in a good mood and you're in a terrible, this kind of, you know, that can be fun too.
Yin yang.
Yeah. Yeah. Who can I set on fire?
Yeah. No, I really despise being in a bad mood. I try not to do it very often. And when I am in a bad mood, my wife calls me on it and I recognize that I'm in a bad mood, but sometimes you're right. You just kind of want to be in a bad mood.
But when somebody points out, like if you're in a good mood and somebody says, well, you're in a bad mood. Yeah, now I am.
Yeah. Or sometimes saying when someone says, are you feeling okay? Do you don't look so great. And you're like, wow, yeah. I felt fine like 30 seconds ago.
Yeah. Yeah, you look terrible.
Like what's wrong with you? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. That happens to me sometimes.
I try to throw it back into their court. You're pretty boring. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of caught off guard by it when someone says that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because I'm always so chipper.
That's what it is.
Yeah. That if I'm not chipper right out of the gate, then I don't know what it is.
Benchmark is pretty high. That's what I've noticed with myself as well.
Yeah. Everyone expects just gold all the time from you.
Okay. We're getting honest now. We're going to get real for a second.
Okay, get real.
People expect me to be the funny guy.
Right.
And so if I'm ever kind of serious or just don't feel like being the funny guy, like if I'm just quiet, everyone assumes that I'm about to jump off a bridge. No, for real. Oh, what's wrong with you? Are you okay?
Like, yeah.
Well, yeah, I just couldn't think of anything funny this second.
Right.
You know, like I don't have to, you know, they're not all punchlines. Some of it's just set up for later. You know? So.
Okay. All right. I'll consider that next time.
We got real. Oh, you've never called me on that. You've never said, hey, man, what's up?
Have I?
No, you haven't because you don't care.
Yeah. I think most of the time I'm not listening.
Yeah. Oh, that's for sure.
All right.
Amazon.
Yes. I've every week I've been buying stuff.
Really? What would you buy this week?
Oh, I don't know. I bought something for Jack's upcoming birthday.
Yeah. Is it still Jack's car?
Yeah, mostly, but I play with it more than he does.
Do you drive it more than 50% of the road time?
No, but I just do all the tinkering with it because, you know, and the funny thing is with that is that, you know, every time we go and smash and bash it, I break apart and then I have to basically take it apart and figure out what's broken and then order the part. And usually it's done on Amazon. But now I think I've got, and a couple of times I replace something that probably didn't need to be replacing. And then we start it up and go and I'm like, nope, still the problem.
Ooh.
So finally got everything sorted out. But then the weather's been crappy. So we haven't been driving it this week.
Question for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you do the tinkering with the remote control car.
Yes, it's a lot of taking apart and putting back together.
Without using Google,
yeah.
Could you gap spark plugs in real life?
No.
weird. That's all. Really? Okay. Yeah. But yeah, but yet you're tinkering with a car. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I don't know anything about cars, so this is a huge learning curve for me, and that's kind of what I like about it. I've always thought, oh, it'd be interesting to learn about cars and mechanical things. I've just always been a bit intimidated and never really wanted to invest the time, I guess, to learn. And so this is kind of, for me, sort of a very small in to that world where, again, you sort of see how things work together. And so this turns that, and then this forces the drive shaft to do that, and on and on. And so I really like these parts are minuscule, right? Like this is I think they call it a 1/10 scale truck. So it's pretty big compared to like little remote control cars. But still, when you're looking at all the parts, there's zillions, it seems like, parts. And I always have to kind of reference little YouTube videos in that to figure out, you know, where to get started. Because once you start taking things apart, you look at all everything and you're like, well, the problem could be here or could be back here or here. And so then, you know, you start ordering parts. You start ordering parts and, you know, this part's $8. This part's $10. And you don't want to just buy everything and replace stuff sort of needlessly, right? So it is a lot of putting together, trying, okay, that didn't work, taking it back apart, and all these tiny little Allen wrenches and little screws. It is a time-consuming activity, but what it is teaching me is sort of how this stuff works. And my father-in-law, who is very mechanical, he looked at this little car with me and one of the issues I was having, and he kind of immediately understood it and where the problem would be based on his knowledge of cars. So I like that because I'm finding that it kind of gives me a better understanding of what is going on under the hood. Now, there's no way I'd be ever able to do anything on our cars because now they're all just computers, but at least it gives me a better understanding of how the car works, which I like.
Okay, somebody has something on fire outside of my house.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's a torch. We're fine. Moving on.
All right. Is this the Olympics? Lead up to the Olympics?
It could be. I was just thinking, hey, it could be. No, I didn't mean to interrupt your story. I'm guessing likely the chances of you having to gap the plugs in Jack's remote control car, it's not going to happen. Once every 6 months at the most.
Okay.
No, never. The answer is you don't have plugs. It's electric car, right?
Yes, yes.
And so moving forward, that's the funny thing is, wait, can you change a spare?
Yes.
It's like no problem. Like you,
no problem.
You blow it. Okay. Yeah. What percentage of your friends do you think could, without issue, quickly change a spare?
Well, I am almost 40, so I'm going to say most, because if you've been driving since the time you're 16 and you're, you know, been driving for 25 years, the likelihood that you've never had to do it at this point is really low. Now, for most 20-year-olds, I would say the percentage would be really low, but I would hope that 80 to 90% of 40-year-olds could change a spare.
I think it's way lower than that.
Really?
Well, because you had the BCAA or whatever it's called, the probably AAA in the States.
Yeah.
And over here it's called something else, and I forget what it is, even though I'm a member. But you have all those services that come out and do it for you pretty quickly. Yeah, I bet you. I'm guessing, like, I would have said 50% of my friends could do it. But maybe it's higher. I don't know.
Yeah, and again, it's not a survey question that I've asked a bunch of my friends. But it is one of those things that you just kind of assume, hey, when you start driving a car, you know, you should learn how to do this. And it's not rocket science. That's the other part. It's not like under the hood stuff, it starts to get a little bit more, complicated. But the actual tire is very simplistic.
So for those listening out there, the only takeaway really is crack the nuts before you jack the car up.
Okay.
That's the tip. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Like that's where you get rookies get into the most trouble.
Okay, explain why that would be bad.
It's just once it's on the ground, it's very easy to crack the nuts without turning the wheel.
Right.
Once it's jacked up, you can actually, the wheel will likely, you know, spin freely.
Right, because it's not stabilized. So
right.
So then you have to put it back down and
Right.
Yeah. I hear you. And the same thing goes with the remote control car. It's much easier to get the nut off the wheel when you just put a little down pressure on the wheel when it's on a table or on the floor. So there you go.
We're not talking about pictures this week at all.
No, forget it. And you know what? Everybody should go out and get themselves a fancy remote control car because it's awesome.
Well, that's the way it's all going to go. Like I bet your son's first car. Do you think your son's first real car will be gas powered?
That's a good question. He's not quite six, so there's a good chance it won't be.
No, he probably won't have his first car at 16, but let's say he has it at 18, so 12 years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm assuming they still have them. I mean,
it's going to be a coin flip. I mean, for me, I probably want to, like, the thing that scares me about electric car is that for him, if it's his first car, is I still think they're going to be mostly little small cars. Mm-hmm. And I don't really want to put him in a little small car if there's a lot of big, like, everyone seems to drive SUVs these days. And right. So, you know, I really don't want to put him in a small little electric car if everybody else is driving big SUVs that are gas powered. I'd rather put him in something that was, I don't know, a little bit more accident friendly.
Right.
So I'll put him in a tank.
It's no, all 16-year-old boys should drive a pickup truck. That's the best way to start. So anyways, let's do some photo stuff.
Yeah. Oh, photo stuff. I'm excited to talk about photo stuff. Did you see my little concoction, my LeBron James poster?
I did.
Not the one I put in the Dropbox originally, but the one I posted on Facebook where I actually meshed it. He wanted it to be with LeBron. So I
obviously.
So I did that. And I did that very quickly. Like that was a 5 minutes of Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically just took a LeBron poster that I thought would sort of work so that I could mesh them together. And then I just basically overlaid him and then just tried to blend a little bit of the background just using like the dark and lighten tools in Photoshop and the end and put it together. And then he loved it. So I used it as my desktop wallpaper. And then I'm like, oh, I'm getting a big one printed for him and I'll just put it up in his room.
Have you got it printed yet?
No, I think I'm going to, because we talked about Costco as a possible printing solution. So I just I have a few to pick up today. I just tried a few sort of sample prints, just 4x6s, to see if it looks any good. Like it's ridiculously inexpensive, and I'm going to pick them up later today to see what I think. And if they look half decent, printing a poster at Costco is like $20.
Right.
So I'll just get a poster printed. I don't even think I'd frame it. I just put a couple of hanging a poster in the old days. Put a couple of push pins through it on the wall and put it up there for him.
Hello, Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, exactly.
But before you do that.
Yeah.
Now my one suggestion for you to ignore completely.
Okay.
Now you took the photo of Jack first and then found the LeBron photo, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
Now what if you retook the Jack photo with a similar lighting as the LeBron? Because they're two very different lighting. One Jack is very front lit, LeBron's very backlit the definition. What if you retook it?
Here's the way I thought about it. In these kind of photos and this kind of wallpaper setup is that they often don't match. And I kind of wanted him to stick out. And because I looked at that and then I was looking at, oh, should I find pictures where the lighting is similar and piece them together? And then I thought, no, I don't really want him just to blend in. I want him to be the clear focus with just kind of LeBron as the, and that's what I said to him. I'm like, he's like, why am I bigger than LeBron? I'm like, because you're the star. He's your running mate here. He's your sidekick.
And, nice.
And so I like that effect of him clearly the focus, but obviously there's LeBron there in the background. But the other thing is that when I'm looking for a file that's high enough res that I can do this, and there's very little to choose from.
Right.
Especially in this kind of wallpaper design, and most of the photos just don't fit at all, or I didn't like the color scheme. I wanted to find the same jersey too. Like there's a lot of different Cavs jerseys.
Right.
And I wanted to find the same jersey that he was wearing. So again, when you start looking for certain things, you really sort of narrow down your list of options. So yeah, no, I did think of that as well. And then I thought, no, I'm good with it. Plus, I'm not sure I can get Jack to cooperate again. So
even after seeing this,
yeah, no, he loves this. But like I say, that's all it has to be is like he loves it. All right, print, set it up in his room. And in a perfect world, I agree. If I could redo it, there's a bunch of things that I would probably change to match the photo, but I really think it's unlikely that that's going to happen.
It looks good regardless. I was just nitpicking.
No, and that's a fair nitpick, and and one that I can see if I redid it and I lit it exactly the same, and even maybe change the color to match more the sort of color tones that they use in the LeBron photo, then maybe mm-hmm. it looks better, but it's a maybe that I'll never know the answer to. You know, and it's also like, all right, what am I doing with this photo? I'm going to print it for him in his room. How much mm-hmm. time am I going to invest? Well, first, if he's not going to want to participate, then none, right?
Oh, yeah.
When he's 9 or 10 and really thinks some of this might be cool, then maybe he'll participate more. But I don't know. I'm in a rut with my kids as far as getting them to cooperate for a photo is ridiculously difficult.
Because the amount of good photos they have, they're already saturated. They've already gone through a lifetime of good photos.
Maybe, but I ask them less and less, and which, again, it makes it even all the more painful for when I do ask, it's still like, oh, really? Oh, how many photos? Yeah. And like, let's get this over in 13 seconds. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I just kind of like, all right, forget it. Like, it's just like, I spend all this time convincing them that it takes the fun out of it.
I used to go, like, I'm going through the same issue with my daughter, who's just not participating. She will participate in that, you know, it's her way or the highway.
Right.
And P.S., there's no highway. And if you even ask about the highway, you're in big trouble. But I used to do the obvious, the bribery, like, right. Okay, hey, I'll buy you a princess or something like that. Yeah. And then now I've switched over to the guilt where I'm like, well, okay, fine. I'll just take a picture of your brother then.
Yeah.
No, I'll do it.
Yeah, that's my move for sure. Yeah. If I ever want to get either one of them, it's just take picture of the other one, and then of course there's the jealous rage that that then will include the second character.
I love manipulating people.
Yeah, me
especially
too.
Kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, did you hear that Yong Nuo was making lenses now?
No, I did not hear that.
They announced it a while ago, and I didn't actually hear it. Some of our listeners have been sending in messages, like for the last couple months, actually, which shows you how I should get around to it faster. They've been asking why you haven't been selling the lenses.
Wow, I know I didn't know they exist. Yeah, I'm gonna have to do a little bit of reading up on that. I'm not in the market for any lenses, to be honest, right now. I feel mm-hmm. like my kit's pretty complete, but I'm definitely interested to know what kind of lenses and what kind of price point that they're going to be working at.
Well, I'd heard they're basically knocking off Canon lenses at like half the price.
Which is kind of what they do, right? Like when it comes to the flashes and the
I don't know if Nikon has been out there yet, but it's just Canon. And so the 50mm, I think they had announced the 50mm 1.8, which is basically identical. Like I'm sure somebody, you know, 3D printed it in their basement or something like that.
Yeah.
But it looks pretty much identical as far as I can tell. And I think instead of 120, I think it goes for like 75 or something like that.
Right, right.
And then I think they made a 1.4 in the 50mm. So instead of, what are those, around 400, 350,
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, about 399, I think, here.
Yeah. So someone had said half price. I haven't seen any specs, so I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty interesting that they're coming in there. And I don't know, the way they've been going with their flashes and the remotes, the triggers, you know, pretty good. So I'd expect the quality to be pretty top notch.
I would think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's good for those who have really haven't filled out their kit that you might want to consider. But before mm-hmm. I make any personal recommendations, I will do my homework on this one.
Right. I had checked it out because a friend of mine had asked. You know, I had asked about getting a prime lens, and I said, listen, like, just go get yourself the 50mm 1.8. Because she's still shooting with the 18-55 or something that came with her camera. And I said, here's what you can do, you know, this will make your life better. And then I heard about it. I thought, oh, I'll check it out. But I think you have to buy it through Amazon. I don't know that they're available in Canada. So it would be a whole bunch of messing around, having it shipped to, you know, Point Roberts kind of thing.
Yeah.
And go down and pick it up. Point Roberts is, in case, you know, you don't remember when Adam's mentioned that before, is it's a point in the U.S. very, very close to Vancouver.
Yeah.
Where you can pop down across the border and pick stuff up that's been shipped to a P.O. box,
right,
for a small fee, and then bring it back.
Yeah,
you know.
Now, if anybody has, picked up a Yong Nuo lens, like again, if they've been out for a little while and has their own sort of personal review on it, then great. Send us an email. I'd like to hear what you think, because I'm not going to buy one unless Yong Nuo is going to send me one to try out. I'm not really going to have. No, I'm putting that out just in case the president of Yong Nuo is listening right now. It's like, yeah. Hey, I'm going to get Adam one of those lenses so he can rave about it. You never know. Maybe that happens. I'm not really going to be able to speak from personal experience because I'm not going to go out and buy a lens that's going to create a redundancy right now. So
sure.
Yeah, if anybody does have one and wants to comment, then let us know.
Look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No.
Me neither. Not a thing.
No, me either. It's the weather's been horrific here.
Uh-huh.
And just not photo friendly. And because my kids aren't cooperating, I was able to manage a photo challenge. So why don't we dovetail into the photo challenge?
Oh, no, before we get into that, I didn't shoot anything interesting, but I did spend a lot of time in Lightroom this week.
Okay.
Loving it.
Yeah.
And this is just Lightroom 4. As I mentioned before, I'm still running, you know, Windows 3.1 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running an older Mac OS for a bunch of reasons, Final Cut Pro being one of them. And so I can only use up to Lightroom 4. And it's awesome.
Okay.
I love it. And I've pretty much got through all of Chris Marquardt's video, Discover the Top Floor.
Yeah.
No, that's
Discover Lightroom.
Discover the Top Floor is his whole realm of, you know, his business is called Discover the Top Floor. Discover Lightroom is what I checked out. It is outstanding. I highly recommend. And besides the fact that, you know, I know him, he's a friend of mine, it really is good. And I can tell you how you know it's good. One, you're going to learn very quickly. Two, there's no fluff. There's not even an opening title.
I like no fluff.
But do you know when you go to watch movies nowadays, and like the first 15 minutes are spent on, you know, all the different production companies' super, super awesome graphic that they make up, and, you know, and by the time you get in the movie, like, you know, all right, can we go? Are we done yet?
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't do any of that. It's just boom, off, here you go. Start learning now.
All right.
So no title. So I love it. And the funny thing is way, way back in the day, like, oh, I can't believe it's 15 years ago, but there was a program called Adobe Premiere, which mm-hmm. is a video editing program that I was considering using because at the time I learned on an Avid, but you couldn't just buy an Avid for your house. They were very expensive. And so Adobe Premiere was kind of the go-to thing. Well, I hated it. It was one of those things, like, it just felt like it was designed by computer guys and not editors.
Not user-friendly.
Right. And a bunch of guys sat around and said, all right, here's, you know, punch in a bunch of ones and zeros, and this is what'll come out. And then a year later, 2 years later, Final Cut Pro was announced. And it really, like, right away, it felt like it was designed by editors.
Okay.
Like, I just got in, and it was simple. I didn't have to read very much about it. It was just, everything made total sense, and you're off and running. Well, this feels the opposite. This feels like Adobe got this one right, like what photographers would want to use, and Aperture actually feels clunky compared to it. I've only ever used Aperture up until now.
Okay.
And it did everything I needed to do, just the basic stuff, but now I'm looking at Lightroom thinking, wow, like, well, should have done this years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Check it out. I urge you to check out Discover Lightroom, Chris Marquardt. Okay,
and I will get around to doing that too.
Mm-hmm. This week's photo challenge, as Adam mentioned, is window light. Why window light?
Because you issued it.
Because I issued it, but why? It's my favorite.
Okay, well, even more of a reason.
It's my favorite, but it's not just my favorite. It's my favorite in other people's photos as well. And we had a decent response to the challenge this week, or a good start anyways. I hope it grows, of course. Like, we posted a link on Facebook for people to submit their own, and some people submitted their photos, and it was really good. I mean, I really liked the results. Some very nice submissions, but for me, window light is, in terms of, like, return on investment,
mm-hmm.
this is the greatest return there could be, I feel.
Well, there's nothing to it, right?
There's very little investment, and the results are just, like, you're going to wow your friends, which is kind of the point of Facebook in the first place.
Yes.
Is to make your friends feel bad about their own kids and technique and photos.
Right. Yeah. No, that's my goal in life, is making my friends feel bad.
Which elevates you.
Yeah.
So there you go. So let's talk about it. Who wants to go first, mine or yours?
Your call.
Okay, here's my son. I have two this week, but
Please don't make us look at both of them.
You got to look at both. They're very different.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. We'll take take 30 seconds out of your busy day. Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about your son.
Yeah, here's my son. That's it.
Look, he looks happy. I like his frog shirt.
That's why I picked the shirt specifically for the photo because I wanted to bring some color out because I knew setting it in that scene would be really almost monochrome. And I picked a shirt on purpose that would really kind of stick out like that blue. And he's holding my gray card on the white side, which every time I turned it around, he would just flip it 180 and always hold the white side out. Don't know why.
Cool.
Wanted the gray card to be in there, but yeah. That's just him. It's just him having fun, and I liked it because it was kind of well lit photo versus high contrast.
I'm just looking at it really wide open. You shot this because like his toes and hands look out of focus.
Yes.
So really shallow. Because what is this? The 85, right?
No.
Oh, this is 50 mil.
That's the thing is I deviated from my norm. Normally, this is an auto. I would shoot this one in the 85 with a full frame camera. The end, like that. That's my go to thing, and I shoot it all the time.
Yeah.
But I specifically wanted to shoot a little wider.
Okay.
So this is the 50 1.4 at 1.4.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is that I said this is the 85 only because I know that's your go to. This looks like a 50 mil shot though.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm thinking, wow, if it is a 50 mil, his feet, hands are so out of focus relative to, the plane of focus. His eyes are in focus, but there's not much distance there for you to get this sort of wide of a shot and yet have that super shallow depth of field. So there you go, 50 mil it is, eh?
But you profiled me.
I did. I totally profiled you. And the thing is I went against my better judgment. I was thinking 50, but no, couldn't be. You're not doing that. So.
Right.
Yeah, you caught me off guard there.
Yeah. Specifically went with the 50. And then I ended up stopping down in later shots, but he had lost his smile. Like he wasn't participating quite the same and tried to jump off the bed face first. So
at now that this, point, which camera did you use? Sorry.
This is the Mark II.
Okay, so this is the Mark II. So what kind of shutter speed? Because it looks like there might be a little bit of motion blur with his hands and feet, too.
I don't think so. I think it's up around 400th of a second.
Oh, okay.
At 1.4 with an ISO of 320, I was getting a decent amount of light. So that, I think that's probably just blur.
Depth of field blur, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. No, it's nice. I like it. Show us the other one. I don't have anything else to say. I don't have anything negative to say. And it's a nice photo. It's what you get when you have good light. Like you say, there's not much to it other than you put him he's put in a good position where there's good light and he's got a smile. And people think that this is ridiculously difficult to achieve when
that's
really
what
isn't.
I love about it.
Yeah.
That's what I love is people see these photos and think, oh man, you really know what you're doing. You don't really have to know what you're doing.
You just got to get focused because that's the tough part. Because 1.4 is tough to get focus here.
I shot a lot of photos because he wasn't sitting still.
Yeah,
and so that really was difficult. At one point, I tried to use the live view and just zoom all the way into his eye and snap some photos off like that, and that wasn't really working because he was still moving too much. You have to shoot 20 to get one in focus, unfortunately. But I don't ever do this.
I'll be honest with the one with the 50 mil 1.4. I never shoot it below, I'd say, 2.0.
Nor do I.
Yeah, it's just to me, it's too frustrating, and the limited cooperation time, it's just not worth it for me to take the 20 shots, have the kids get antsy, not want to participate, and so I'll shoot it at 2 or 2.8 or something, and just ensure that I have it sharp where I want it to be sharp.
Yes.
But I love it when it works out, it looks really good.
It does. And you get that vignetting around it. Like, that's all in camera. I didn't add anything.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you shoot it at f1.4, essentially. Yeah. You get that vignetting.
Yeah, which looks good here. Like, it looks good with the vignette. Yeah.
No, I like it. And, brings the focus on him. And he's just got a great attitude. And, in the end, this is one of those ones that, like, this should be, if you're learning to take photos, this should be your very first goal. Is to figure out how to take this photo.
And the thing is that if you didn't shoot it this wide open, that the background would be distracting. Like if that was yes. too in focus, if those that, I guess, is that the edge of his crib or what are we talking
That's our
about?
Bed.
Okay. So if yeah. that was in focus, it would be distracting, but it's out of focus enough that it actually helps the photo. It actually, you know, creates some interesting lines versus becoming a distracting element. So right. I think you had to shoot it this wide open with the distance from that background to your subject in order to have it not be distracting.
That was exactly what I had in mind. That and the color, the choice of his t-shirt.
Yeah.
Because I knew I'd be shooting it here, and I knew that it was going to be very monochrome, like the light sort of sand color on the wall, the white bed, the black and white sheets. I knew there was going to be nothing in there, so for him to stick out from that, boom, go with the blue. That's really going to pop.
There you go. It's nice. All right. Now can we move on?
Yes. So the other one.
Right. Your son's now, cute. The end.
The other one is my daughter, and I kind of, in some respects, I like this photo better, others not so much, and she's, you know, she's popped up in the photo challenge every week. So the other one's my official submission, but I really, really like the way the light fell off here.
Yeah, it is nice. It's totally different than the other one.
Absolutely, and there's that word again. That's why, ultimately, I liked the tone, like the feeling of the other picture better. But this one is just the technique. This is even easier to do.
This one photographically, I think is a better photo than the first one,
mm-hmm.
but it's almost a bit depressing. Like I'm crying right now. Like, I don't know. It yeah. just has that sad sort of tone and she's not crying. But there is just kind of there's a moodiness created by all the dark.
Uh-huh.
And so if I take a photo like this, I look at it longer than the other one because the other one is, you know, happy kid sitting, again, very well lit, pretty even lighting versus this is a totally different feel. But I will look at this photo a lot longer than I would look at the other one, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
It yeah. does make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't really going for melancholy, but she wasn't cooperating. And this is the best I could get out of her expression wise.
If she had a single tear on her cheek, then I would be crying.
I might Photoshop that.
Yeah, just get one tear on that near side cheek, and oh my God, I'm starting to well up right now.
Yeah, but for me, like this is what I really really like about this our living room here is where we have a massive window on the one side, but it does fall off very quickly into the walls, like into the painted walls. And so you can get really, if you expose properly, which I did, for the skin tones, you really get a great fall off. Okay. And so she just pops right out of that. And again, very monochrome. Like it's we have blue couches. We have, she's wearing a gray shirt. Her skin tone is a little bit warmed up versus the rest of the light. Like I actually warmed that up in Lightroom, using a brush. Mm-hmm. So it's only her face is a few degrees warmer than the rest of it. It stayed cool. Really just to make that pop out. And I like what goes on with her eyes. But again, happy-wise, other picture. So that's why we went with that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's look at your photo.
Okay.
All right. What's going on here?
Window.
Jack, at the window.
Yeah. This is me convincing Jack to take part in one of these photos. So that he can go back to whatever coloring or whatever he was doing.
I assumed it was eating the black crayon.
Yeah, he was. I don't know what that is, but I kind of liked it. I was going to take it out, and I'm like, no, I like that. I don't know what he was got on his mouth there, but he was in the midst of some kind of coloring with some smelly markers. So he might have got the smelly marker too close to his nose and poked himself in the mouth with it. So I don't know what that is, but. Anyways, I just got him real close to the window. This is in our kitchen looking out. And there wasn't much light coming in. So I had to get him real close. So he's like, I don't know, 3 inches from the window.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see obviously how quickly the light falls off because his ear and the back wall, which is blue, shows up as complete darkness. And yeah, just got him to stand there. And then I snapped a photo and I like the expression. I just like the... when is this over look?
Yeah, are we done yet?
Yeah, but it's kind of a sort of, again, like a, I don't know if it's the mood is kind of like almost a little bit of sad melancholy, similar to Emily's kind of tone, but maybe a little angrier.
Something's rotten in the state of Denmark. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And anyway, so that's all it was. And I just like the contrast with where it's looking outside to a door. We have a little storage out there. So you get that sort of white versus on the other side of the frame, like the complete dark. So I just like the light to dark. And that's it. Did nothing here. This, because there was so little light, I think I shot this a very shallow depth of field too, but somewhere in the F2 range. But because of the little light, I think I shot this at like an ISO of over 1,000. So yeah, and that's it. That's all I did.
And you included the window in the photo. So, I mean, my instinct is to never do that, but we had someone else do that. Mike sent in a picture that he took of his, we'll just say wife, maybe not married, I don't know. But he included the window in it and he ended up bouncing light back into her face and it's really well done.
Mm-hmm. I saw that photo too and I liked it. I think because we said window, I just thought, hey, I'm going to use the window. Yeah. I was even going to include more of the window, but, it just the way I liked the crop, cause I cropped this slightly. I cropped the sort of bottom of the window frame out, but I thought it was obvious cause you could see reflection that he was in the window, but I just thought, yeah, I'm going to use the window. And that was,
I didn't see the reflection until you just mentioned it. It looked like dirt cause there's the kind of dirt on the window.
There's a bit of a smudge, but yeah, no, you can see his reflection and some of the shots you can see more of his reflection, but I like this expression. So I went with one where you couldn't see his whole face as the reflection. Cause then I thought too, as the reflection becomes a little bit more distracting, you spend more time looking at the reflection and it's not sharp the way the focus is set. So yeah, just went with one where you can see a little bit of the reflection, but it's not going to take away from the subject.
No, I like that with this photo with the window in it and Mike's photo, both of them, you guys weren't afraid to overexpose what's outside the window.
Yeah.
You know, and so we're always kind of, not always, or we necessarily, but a lot of people are sort of trained to, well, we can never overexpose, everything has to be right within, you know, the whatever word I'm looking for.
The histogram, white fall off, I don't know. I know
what
you're saying.
I was going to say latitude, but and so that it all falls within, so we can see every little pixel, but that's not realistic. And like, this feels realistic. This feels like you didn't, you know, overdo it. You could have overdone it. You could have brought a flash in and lit, you know, his left ear. Even had it like his face exposed to this exact exposure, but knocked the outside down an awful lot, and so you would actually see out in the yard. No point.
Well, and there's nothing there that's meaningful, right? Like, yeah, and I like that. A couple of users, Mike and not users, listeners, posted another guy, I can't remember the name, posted a window light shot of his daughter that I really liked, and he used a reflector on the other side to kind of like bounce some light back in. Now, I did this photo before I saw any of their photos, and I thought, oh, you know, I'd be interested to see how it would have looked. But because the window is in the frame in this shot, then it becomes more like, well, that light's not real. Right. So if I did it in my photo, because clearly the window's on that side, so where should the light fall? As soon as I fill in his cheek or his ear, then it doesn't look like a window light photo, because now you've got an alternative light source to fill that in. So I'm fine with, this looks totally natural. There's a window. That's how the light should fall off.
So you're motivating light now. I'm impressed.
Motivating it. I am motivating light.
That's what it is. I don't like unmotivated light, unless you're trying to go for that really crazy style, which is fine. But generally, like in movies and that, like I watch movies, obviously in a different way sometimes, where I look at where the lights are and how did they get them there, you know, and what is that light supposed to be, and this and that, and so wow, you're big time now.
Yeah, no, I'm big time.
Okay, moving on.
All right.
This week's topic is...
Motivating light.
We talked about... Didn't we talk about motivated light one time?
We just did. We just talked.
I think it was an episode.
I remember you talked about The Sopranos and you... Was it The Sopranos? No, it was the one where the guy makes the drugs.
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. You talked about Breaking Bad and how... there's a certain top lighting or something effect that is going right. to drive everybody crazy. And now, whenever I catch that show, I've watched a couple seasons. I haven't seen them all, but whenever I catch that show, it always bothers me. So you kind of ruin things for me.
Well, they probably shouldn't have done it like that.
Yeah.
You know,
but everybody's seen the show, so they did a few things right there. So.
They did know it's a good show. I'm not suggesting. I wouldn't have picked, you know, Charles in Charge and ripped on their lighting.
Oh, I love Scott Baio.
Yeah, but pretty flatly lit.
I'm gonna put Jack in a Scott Baio photo next.
Oh, do it, but zapped part three. Yeah, that's what you should go with.
All right.
No, this week's topic, we're going to talk about ego.
Oh, no.
Not our ego. Ours is awesome.
Okay.
Because we back it up.
I really like myself a lot. I mean, sometimes don't I go on rants, and I'm surprised nobody calls me on it as like, wow, like you really like yourself a lot. And right. truth is, I kind of do, but I don't think in an unhealthy way.
No.
Right? Like, I think there's people that really think everything that they do is the greatest thing ever, and that, you know, for lack of a better term, their you know what doesn't stink, and that's not the case for me.
No, but see, there are a number of people who think that I have a pretty big ego, but that's only because I'm better than them.
Right. Yes. Yeah. No, I think you have a pretty big ego.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because again, yeah. I think that's part of why we get along, is because mm-hmm. you know, we both have, you know, decent sized egos, and you know, we try to tear each other down a little bit, but pump the tires at the same time.
That's my move. Yes.
Yeah. I like, for every one, you know, helpful critique, there's two or three like, oh yeah, you're really good.
Yeah, you have to keep it in like neutral density.
Yeah.
Buoyant. You want to remain buoyant.
Okay.
That's all it is.
Okay.
No, there's been a meme. How do you pronounce that? Meme, mame, mem, you know, the internet things? You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
I do, but I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm just going to remain quiet.
Okay, I'm going to call it a meme.
Sure.
But there's been a meme going around.
Not a meme.
It should be called a mama. I think if you pronounce it loudly at a party, that would be awesome. Be like, yeah. Have you guys seen this internet meme? Have you seen that with the kitten just hanging there? You know that one?
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't know. That's, again, this is one of those weird things where it comes up, but I don't know anybody who's the authority on the pronunciation of this sort of thing.
Well, now it's us. Now it's meme.
Okay. Meme.
Meme and the gimme gimmies. That's what it's going to be. So there's been this meme going around people keep sharing on Facebook or sending to me, and that's interesting. And it is whatever, I don't even know the number anymore, but it's like the 15 things to never say to a photographer.
Okay.
Have you seen this?
No.
Okay. This is going to be a great show then.
Okay. Maybe I have. Okay,
no, you know what it is though. And it basically, cause it's been going around forever, but.
Okay. I have seen it. I just filtered it out.
I can certainly identify with some of the 15 things, like people who, you know, ask the photographer, hey, can I just print out, you know, can I get them printed from Facebook or something like that?
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like that kind of stuff I agree with.
Yeah.
But there's one that everybody seems to agree on, and this seems to be a thing. When they say, never ask a photographer, what lens did you use?
Right.
Or what was the f-stop? Right. Never ask a photographer that. Or what were your settings? That's right. Another example.
Right, right. Can I use your selfie stick?
That one you never ask.
Right. If you ask that, you're liable to get hit.
But this is the thing, is everywhere, I read this everywhere, and all the photography, the blogs and the what have you, that the people say, oh yeah, it's not about the settings, you know, never ask a photographer about what lens did he use, because it's not about the lens. Do you know why photographers won't answer that question?
Why they won't answer the question of what lens?
Because they're snobby jerks.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
If anybody ever asks you, what lens did you use? What do you say?
I tell them what lens I used.
That's because you're not a snobby jerk.
Right.
What you don't say is, oh, well, it doesn't really factor in the creative process, and it's not really important. It's you know, what you're taking pictures, man. You're not curing cancer.
Right. I usually say what lens I used, and then I usually tell them that they should buy one too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But do you really think that if somebody asks about your camera or lens or settings or whatever, that they're implying that you were not integral to the process?
No.
This is apparently the attitude.
Hmm.
Is well, if you think it's the lens, then you know my feelings are hurt. So yeah. It's about me. I took the picture, not the lens.
Right. Yeah. No. I can see that. But yeah, that's that. Really, do you think that that's that prevalent that people think that way?
Yes.
Really?
I wouldn't have brought it up if I hadn't.
I don't think our listeners think that way.
Our listeners don't think that way. I guarantee, I read all the time advice from other pros on the web. Oh, never ask a photographer, because it's not about that. It's about the creative process. How are you supposed to learn? But more importantly, as a photographer, as a professional, how low is your self-esteem that Aunt Maud, whose only hobby is smelling like a tent, is able to knock you off your game?
Right.
Don't tell Aunt Maud, oh, can't tell you this was a 70 to 200, because it was me who made the photo, not the guy in the Canon factory.
Right.
Nobody, just answer the question.
I agree.
Nobody is taking away from your value. So, like myself, if I see a good photo, I like to reverse engineer that. Like, not even a photo, just in life. I like to reverse engineer things just in general. So if I can sort of lock down the variables, I can figure out how they did that and then maybe adapt that into my process.
Right.
Thus, if anybody asks me, I give the same answer as you. I tell them, oh, yeah, sure, 70 to 200. Oh, you must, that's a good photo. You must have a good camera. Yes, I do.
Yes, I agree. I don't really sweat that at all, because I think for the most part that you got to factor in the person asking the questions, and if they make the comment, you must have a really nice camera, then they probably don't understand the whole extent of everything, but I'm not going to belittle them for that. I'm just going to say, yeah, no, because I honestly believe that, you know, my information, what I learned about photography, can only take me so far. The equipment does make a difference. It makes a big difference. And I wouldn't have bought the lenses that I have if I didn't see a huge value and benefit in making my photos better. If you just gave me the kit lens and said, you know, go shoot like the family photos or go shoot a wedding, I could get some usable photos, but certainly they would be nowhere near to the stuff I would get using my gear and the lenses that I've come to sort of, you know, love, because they can do things that I just can't.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly the situation. Yeah, a number of pros will tell you, no, the lens doesn't matter. But you don't see them scratching their photos into dirt with a stick.
Right.
You have it. Now, that's not to say the corollary is there that if you go out and just buy all that, drop $8,000 on a setup, you're not going to automatically take good photos. You still have to learn how to take good photos.
Right, right. So, but all else being equal, with that knowledge base, is you will get far better results with good gear. That part I don't think anybody can argue.
If you asked Wayne Gretzky back in the day, hey, what hockey stick do you use? Like, would he punch you in the mouth?
Probably not. He'd say no. Titan. Or it changed to Joe Foot somewhere.
Well, he would say, hey, Dave Semenko, punch him in the mouth.
Yeah, that's true.
Or McSorley would have been a better reference. I went too far back with the cement head comment.
Oh, yeah. No, I think the people that got it would get it.
I'm sure the both of those people. Turns out Dave Semenko, big listener of the show. Big fan. Yeah. But he never shares what lens he uses. That's weird to me.
Yeah.
So it's going to be uncomfortable at our next lunch. But the saying I always hear is the settings don't matter if it's a lousy photo.
Right.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Really? What about chocolate? Does that taste good?
Yeah.
You know, put on a bunch of other obvious things. But that got me to thinking, if we want to become better photographers, because I think everybody sort of shares, like that's an extreme example that is unfortunately shared by a lot of pros, which I don't understand. Ask Dwayne Gervin what lens he uses. What's he going to answer?
He's going to tell you what lens he uses.
50 mil.
Yeah.
The end, you know? Great. Do with that information what you will.
And I think he's even going to go a step further. And I mean, you know,
buy you one.
Yeah. No, well, maybe. Yeah. Or, but just kind of, you know, say, you know, if he's holding it here, you know, you try it and here's how I did it. And that's kind of what I like. And you come across photographers like that. And you want to kind of just keep asking them questions because
right.
They're completely open to sharing information. And I try to do that for anybody who will listen. That's why we podcast, right?
Right.
Is to try to share that information because, you know, what the heck? I mean, it's not like we're inventing the wheel here and it's not taking away from our photos. And hopefully, yeah, we can, the people that learned it here can pass it on to somebody else. And why not everybody just take good photos?
That would be nice.
Then how I wouldn't do we have get to our... stare at Facebook and all the iPhone shots. Yeah.
But if we're learning, like, okay, then there must have been some point in your life where your ego got in the way of you learning something.
When I was in grade school, I always wanted to, well, in university too, I always wanted to have the best test scores. I always wanted, again, I certainly gathered a level of personal self-esteem from having the highest marks, average, whatever. Like, I was always very competitive that way. But mm-hmm. I wasn't, like, I had friends that would, in university and high school, that would want to study with me. I had no problem helping them study as well, so long as I beat them on the final exam.
Right.
No, I'm not thinking that way. No, and in all honesty, they studied with me because they wanted to know, like, oh, how do you do well at tests and you seemingly don't pay attention in class? And the answer is I was very, very good at test studying. I sort of understand what the questions will be. So like you say, reverse engineered. I know in reading a textbook what things are going to be asked just from reading the material. And I honestly don't understand why it's that difficult to figure out, but I don't think people think that way, right?
Right.
And so I think, okay, what's going to be asked as I'm thumbing through the textbook, and then I basically formulate the questions in my head, and turns out most of those tend to be the questions that get asked, and so you always feel prepared that way. So I used to study with friends, and I always felt like, again, if I did well in exams, then it sort of, you know, validated that I was smart, which turns out is not the case at all. It's just I was good at learning for tests. I was good at test learning.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when I think about it, I don't think about, again, information that I know in that terms makes me better than someone else. I just like sharing information. And that's why I work as a physiotherapist, because I feel like helping people understand how their body works, or in the case of photography, how their camera works, is information that they can take forth and somehow enhance their life, right?
Do you run into that with your patients, though? Do you ever run into that? And definitely name names here. But,
sure.
No, but do you ever run into that where, like, you tell them, okay, here's how we do this, and they, oh, no, I know better.
No, I don't think some people don't care to know. Like, mm-hmm. some people just say, okay, you know, don't worry about the telling me exactly how everything works. Just tell me how I can fix it. And if that's uh-huh. the info you want to know, I'm fine with that. Some people want to know everything and they ask lots of questions. And I love that because that's kind of how I would come to the situation and just want to know everything. And so some people say, oh, sorry for asking so much questions. I'm like, no, that's why you're here. And that's sort of my goal, is to be more of an educator than just a passive, okay, I'll do this, that, and the other and send you on your way. I want to be able to help them not just fix the problem now, but hopefully educate them in a way that's going to prevent them from needing to come back forever. And people say, well, doesn't that seem to be counterproductive for business? And I say, absolutely not, because if I do a good job, then they're going to tell their friends. And that's the same idea with the podcast. If we educate and do a good job and people find value in it, then they're going to tell other people about it. And that's mm-hmm. how things work. It's building a bigger audience and not trying to unnecessarily you take advantage of that single person. That's horrible business. And people still, I think, have a mentality in certain private feels that, oh, you know, like they're trying to take advantage of me. That would be a terrible business plan. So anybody right. who thinks that way is thinking very small-minded, sort of, you know, you're never going to last well in business. If you sell stereos or if you sell whatever and you're just trying to maximize on the one sale, guess what? Word will get out and your business is going to go under pretty darn quick. But if you do a really good job and if you're honest and you try to do things in a way that's most efficient and productive for the person, then word gets around pretty quick that you're someone people want to deal with, and that's a much better business model, right?
Do you hear that, Radio Show? Jack?
Yeah. When I
Where
think mechanics get a bad rep, and
right.
as patients, I see mechanics. And again, good, you know, a good mechanic by someone who is just going to shoot you straight. And usually, I don't know, you can tell pretty quickly, or I feel like I can tell pretty quickly whether someone is just trying to, you know, maximize or take advantage versus, you know, here's what you got to do. You know, mm-hmm. you know, don't buy this, that, and the other. Buy this.
Well, your Johnson rods bent.
Yeah, the Johnson rods, you need to replace those. But again, yeah. I think people, a lot of times, I think, see the worst in everybody, you know?
Yep. But okay, on the flip side, when it's come time for you to learn something.
Right.
Have you
Sorry,
ever
I
been...
got off topic there.
That's okay. Way, it was all interesting stuff.
Way
Very
off
interesting stuff. I wrote a lot of it down.
Yeah.
When you're going to learn something, when you were younger probably, did you ever let your ego get in the way of that? Like, yeah, maybe I know this better, or I'm just not going to listen to this guy. Or girl.
Right. I don't think so. I mean, I'm judgmental. So if mm-hmm. I look at what have they done? Like, to me, if they can't produce something that I think is of any decent quality, then just listening to someone talk who can't in some way back it up, mm-hmm. then I'm probably going to tune them out. In the case of for me personally in education, when we did our schooling for physiotherapy is a good example, then sometimes you had professors that had not been in the they hadn't practiced. They'd written books. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they hadn't practiced in 20 years. And so then they'd be talking on a topic and someone would ask the question, okay, well, how does this apply to the patient scenario? And they would have zero to say. Then to me, it's like, all right, now you've kind of lost me. Because mm-hmm. if you can't provide information that is in some way practical to me, then even though I don't know better, I'm going to stop listening. Like, I need something that tangible that I can use.
Fair enough.
Otherwise, I'm done. You've lost me right there.
I think this is one of the things that, I mean, besides being able to you know, discern who knows what they're talking about and who doesn't, I think I get better at listening and discerning, actually, when you get older. Like, when I was younger, I was probably had a certain, I wouldn't say ego or bravado, but there's a certain unwillingness to sort of see things from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And a certain stubbornness, really. And I remember one particular incident when I was thinking about this topic. I was thinking about, you know, how it applied to photography, and, you know, maybe you shoot something always. I always shoot it this way, and I don't even want to open my mind to the possibility of shooting it this way, and that's kind of will kill you creatively, and you're going to learn slower. But I remember an instructor telling me something about my swing in for baseball, you know, and I was probably 19 years old, and you know, I knew all there was to know about everything. And I was just standing there listening to him, pretending to listen to him with my arms crossed. And he picked up on it immediately. He kind of just said, hey, you know, I can tell you're taking this all in. You're really open to this idea.
Right.
And I was like, and that is, I've never forgotten that, because I didn't agree with everything he said. In fact, I disagree with a lot of it. However, what was my problem? Why wouldn't I entertain it? Like, I mean, odds are when you're learning anything, odds are that somebody knows more than you on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yes. It's just a reality, not even odds. Yes. That's really the case.
Yes.
Even if they don't, even if you know more than somebody else, there's a pretty good chance they'll know one thing that you don't.
Right.
So that's a good opportunity to put your ego aside and listen. Now, this is where we get into return on investment, like we talked about. You know, you don't want to sit and listen to a guy rattle on for 3 hours hoping you're going to get one little tidbit, you know, about how to tie your shoes or something.
Turns out that our podcast probably not the best example then of something to spend your time on.
Well, people wanted to learn the inner workings of the physio world.
Yeah, why I'm awesome.
You don't get to see behind that curtain often.
Yeah.
Unless you go to the back of the office and just actually look behind the curtain. And then then you can see a bunch of, oh, water cooler. Sweet. Hey, they have TSN back here too.
I'm sure everybody is going to be sending us emails saying, please more physio talk. We don't get enough of that.
So I think as I got older, it's that old saying that, you know, the wise man knows that there's much he doesn't know. And you sort of get like that when you get older, you kind of think, oh man, maybe I should listen instead of talk, you know, said the guy hosting his own podcast.
Right.
And so I think I've done that more and rather than say, oh, well, yeah, here's how I do it. If someone's showing me something, I will listen and go, hey, what if I do it this way? And then I get home and find out that it's complete nonsense. I'm never doing it that way. My way is just fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I boil eggs. Now move on with your life.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think in the way that, I mean, everyone learns that one of the things I've sort of come to understand much better being married to a teacher. My wife is a teacher and she does lots of instruction and to other teachers and is kind of understanding how everybody learns very, very differently, you know, like completely differently. And so I always just assumed kind of everybody, you know, did it the same way. And I mean, that's maybe a little bit naive and I don't mean in those exact terms, but I always just found that I would sort of explain something to someone in the way that I would understand that. And turns out that doesn't work all the time, right? Mm-hmm. You learn one way. Like I can't sit in a classroom and have someone instruct me on almost anything and learn it right then. If you did it that way and then asked me to answer a bunch of questions, I would fail every time because turns out I have to sit down and read it and sort of pay 100% focus to the material. And then I can learn very, very quickly. But with someone just standing and talking, I don't learn well that way.
Right.
So you probably get that a little bit from me in that when you talk half the time, it seems like I'm not listening, but I am listening. It's just my brain is going to 9 million different things at once. And I don't know, you can diagnose that whatever you want, but I learn extremely well in a very distinct set of circumstances. And so I find if I learned everything just on terms of podcast, that would be troublesome for me. I have to.
But our podcast is different because I specifically engineered it to have tangible takeaways that you can apply each week.
Right. And the thing is, that's when I learn. But no. But that's when I learn.
Yes.
Is I learn it when I go and I do the photo challenge, or I learn it when I apply it. And I can't just learn it from listening to someone say it. I have to hold my camera and try the lenses and do the lighting and blah, blah, blah. That's how I learn. And so if anybody else is kind of like me, then I think you have to first sort out what's the environment that you learn best in, and then you have to do things in your way, right? Like you show me stuff on a camera, and if I don't apply it immediately, it's gone. I'm not going to remember. It's not going to mean anything to me until I actually apply it. And so that's how I learn. I don't know where I was going with this at the beginning, but I think the point somewhere it was in there.
I think, yeah, well, I'll edit this down to something spectacular. My takeaway, I said there's no takeaway this week, but my takeaway is to photographers who refuse to share what lenses they use or what technique for some stupid reason, put your ego away, man. Nobody is that passive aggressive that they're going to suggest that you having a good camera is a substitute for your talent. We know you're very talented. Nobody is mistaking that. And even if they don't think you're talented, who cares?
Right, I agree. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, you stopped talking.
So did you.
Yeah, but you were in the middle of saying something.
So were you.
No, I wasn't.
Now it's getting weird. Carry on.
Am I supposed to talk or are you?
I thought you were talking.
Oh, I was just going to say one of my favorite things to do for learning. This is a takeaway. Okay. So if you give me a challenge, right? and I immediately don't have an idea, so you'll give window light or whatever it might be, the way I learn the most for photography is I go into Google, I type window light photos, and then I just click on images and I look at 100 different images. Mm-hmm. I'm not stealing. I'm gathering information and ideas. But to me, that's how I learn. And I think that's probably a super helpful tool for 90% of photographers out there, is that you look at other people's work. And I think that's a whole part of check your ego, is I might not like every photo I look at. In fact, I probably don't like most of them, but mm-hmm. it's all information, and you sort of see what you like, what you don't like, what works, gives you ideas that then I can somehow twist into something that's my own. And I really find that right there is a good example of why I don't think I have an ego as a photographer, because mm-hmm. I completely look to other people, because again, I'm not inventing photography or how to take a window light picture, but I can sort of put my own spin on it, right?
Well, people will take swim lessons. Not everybody decides to learn how to swim on their own. We just have a bunch of dead people in that deep end.
Right.
That'd be stupid. Ask people who know. Put your ego, I know how to swim. My doggy paddle is awesome.
Right.
No, put it away and learn from somebody who knows what they're talking about. Takeaways.
And there's such a, and to me, like, just Google Images is such a great tool, because you're going to see fantastic stuff and you're going to mm-hmm. see terrible stuff. And again, it's all at the click of a button, right? Like, you want to find photos grouped together on any topic. That's all you have to do. And then you can just sift through as many or as few as you want, but super helpful learning tool. And I do that almost every week, to just gather information, gather ideas. And sometimes I don't take my photo right after that. Most of the time I don't, but it's just kind of, again, part of that building that knowledge. And I don't know what people did, you know, 20 years ago, because, you know, for the photo challenges on our show I'm talking about, because it's such a fast learning curve when you have all of this information at your disposal.
Yes.
Why not take advantage of it?
Just take advantage of it. That's the other big takeaway. Whenever you see bad photos on Google Images, though, I always think, man, that guy has a terrible camera.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Why didn't you buy a good camera, idiot?
Probably using the kit lens.
Yeah, not even. Wow. Terrible. Great.
Is that it?
That's it. We got egos done. Done. Yes.
Again, I'm going to apologize right now if anyone's still listening.
No. There's a lot of takeaways out of this.
Right. Okay.
Next week's challenge. I didn't think of one. I was hoping you did.
I don't know if we've ever done this, but I've kind of had it chambered for a few weeks, thinking that I know it's not in our general realm of, it's kind of like a gimmick photography, mm-hmm. but I just thought people are doing it, so maybe we should try it. And that's painting with light.
Oh, that one sucks.
Have we ever done that?
No, my ego says don't do it. My ego is writing checks my body can't cash, man.
And I'm not even sure exactly how to do it. I kind of have an idea, but...
painting with light, I'm going to do it. I'll do it.
Don't know what I'm going to be doing.
I'll do it right now. I'll do better than you.
Okay, all right.
Good, painting, light painting.
Painting with light painting, whatever you want to call it. I think you know what I mean, though, right?
Yeah, I do. I think I do. We'll probably have to... I'm going to have to Google image that, but...
Yeah, Google image it.
Are we talking about, like, you making shapes with the light, or...
Or whatever, letters, words, picture, whatever.
Like,
but you... Yeah, so long exposure where you kind of do something with the light.
All right. That's awesome. You're right. It might be gimmicky, and it's absolutely not in my wheelhouse. But
not
like
in mine
said,
either. Not
like we just
mine.
Said, put your ego aside and do something else. And here it is. Let's do it.
Okay.
Websites. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca and mm-hmm. Two Hosers Facebook.
And mine at AlanAtridge.com, or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the links and photos and whatnot that we talked about. I'll even try to post that meme.
Okay.
On there and see if we can find a link to that. Or it's probably on Facebook somewhere. I'm not sure how that works. So that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.